So I wonder how many of you have ever started a project of some sort, only to give up after a few days or a few weeks, months maybe. That could be learning a new skill, learning a language, for example, or learning a musical instrument. It could be wanting to get fit, going to the gym, or going on a diet to lose weight. Maybe it was some kind of do-it-yourself project in the home or garden that worked out to be too much and too difficult. If we're honest, most of us are pretty good at giving up on difficult tasks that take a long time to do. Sometimes the consequences of giving up aren't particularly serious. Sometimes they are. The book of Haggai is about a group of people who had given up on an important construction project that God had entrusted to them. And this first chapter is about what God said through the prophet Haggai to get them started again. Before we dig into the story, I just want to explain something of the history, first of all, and then one important key of interpretation that we as believers in Jesus Christ need to bear in mind. So first of all, the history. In 586 before Christ, the Babylonians invaded the small country of Judah, where God's people lived. By that time, they had become a disobedient, immoral, and idolatrous people. The Babylonians killed many, committed atrocities. They took the survivors off to live in exile in Babylon. They also destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. For the people of Judah, the people of God, this was a painful national humiliation. It was a painful spiritual humiliation. For they saw the temple as God's special dwelling place. And with the temple gone, they thought that God had abandoned them. In many ways, perhaps he had, but it was only temporary. For in 538 BC, there was a change of emperor at the heart of the empire, and with it a change of policy. Cyrus, the new emperor, decided that exiled slaves could return to their homelands if they wished. So following this permission, about 50,000 Jews returned to Jerusalem. They started to rebuild their lives, their city. They began to rebuild the temple. And they got as far as laying the foundations before a number of other peoples living in the region. They opposed it. They started making threats of legal action. And the people felt intimidated. And so they took the easy option, the easy choice. They stopped the rebuilding the temple. And it's some 18 years later that God calls two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, with the purpose of calling the Jews back to work on the temple. So Haggai gave his first address to the people on the 29th of August, 520 BC. That's actually also my brother's birthday, about 2,500 years later, but that's of no consequence. But how are we to interpret this text today? First and foremost, this isn't for us about a building project. And it's not about constructing chapels or cathedrals. In the Old Testament, the temple was God's special dwelling place, his royal palace, as it were. Yes, God is present everywhere, but he was in some way more present or differently present in the temple in Jerusalem. But when we read the New Testament, we learn that all the key teachers, be it Jesus, Paul, Peter, and John, they teach us that the physical building of the temple in Jerusalem is no longer God's special dwelling place. Rather, God dwells in Jesus Christ and by extension in the body of Christ, his church. God dwells in Christ and by extension in believers gathering together to worship Jesus Christ. Yes, God is present everywhere, but he's especially present, he's differently present with his people, where believers gather together in local churches. That's an extraordinary, extraordinary truth, that God is with us here and now, and that we as individuals, as people, are part of God's new temple, Jesus Christ and his body. God dwells with us in a unique and marvelous way. So for Christian believers, this chapter isn't about constructing a chapel for worship, as important as they are, but rather it's about building the body of Christ, adding to the body of Christ through the preaching of the gospel, building fellowship, building community in local churches, building each other up towards maturity in Christ. Let's dig into Haggai's message a bit. And it's not an easy message. In fact, it's quite a stinging rebuke. But a rebuke designed to lead the people towards repentance and a change in attitude, a change in action. It strikes me that this rebuke is aimed at two bad attitudes that the people had fallen into. In verse 2, I detect what I call procrastination, putting off till tomorrow what we know we should do today. Read verse 2. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. The people knew very well that they should be rebuilding the temple. Ignorance was not the problem. But they were saying, now is not a good time. They were putting it off to the future. The problem is that now is never a good time, is it? And tomorrow never comes. They kept kicking the can down the road. And so for the Lord, for the prophet, it's just not acceptable. He told the people, you know what God's will is, and you need to do it now. Not wait until it's more convenient, not wait for a better time. Now is when you need to start rebuilding the temple. But then verse 3 perhaps reveals a deeper reason behind their procrastination. In verse 4, the prophet says, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panelled housing and this temple to lie in ruins? I call this bad priorities. The people had bad priorities. To put it in modern terms, they were preoccupied with the latest DIY fad. Well, that's not just a 21st century phenomena. The DIY fad that they were into was wood panelled walls in their homes. At this time, wood panelled walls was probably a luxury item. If you had wood panelled walls, you'd arrived. If you didn't have them, well, you better keep up with the Joneses. This is 2,500 years ago, but it sounds so modern, so contemporary, doesn't it? The people had kicked any spiritual priorities out of the window. They just wanted a nice home, full stop. It seems they've become materialist, consumerist, following the latest fashion. And Haggai points the finger and says, that's a bad priority. In looking after their own home, they had neglected God's temple, God's palace. They had the latest wood-paneled walls, but the temple of the Lord had no walls at all. And some commentators suggest that to make their wood-paneled homes, the people had actually taken wood that had been provided to build the temple. In other words, they had pinched stuff from God's building site. A pretty shocking thing to do. Then in verse 9 that we learn that things had started to go wrong for the people in Judah, in Jerusalem. Their economy was essentially agriculture based, and there had been some bad harvests, there had been drought. Basic necessities were lacking, prices were going up, and wood paneled walls aren't much good when your kids are starving. But the prophet says this shouldn't come as a surprise. Haggai asks them to think about things, to consider their ways. And the background is passages in the Pentateuch, Moses writing. The background, for example, of Deuteronomy chapter 28, where we see God make promises of blessings or obedience, but warnings of disaster for disobedience. God had kept his word. The people were not building the temple, and so he sent a drought that led to bad harvests, to inflation, an economy in trouble, and people suffering. And so the people, prophet calls them to consider their ways. He does so twice, verse 5 and verse 7. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Look what's happening to you. Understand why. Remember what Moses said. And take action to put things right. Take action to put right what has gone wrong. And then in verses 12 to 15, for once, there is a happy ending. For once, the people listened to the prophet. They listened to Haggai, from the leaders, Joshua and Zerubbabel, down to the people. They listened to Haggai. They did consider their ways. They repented. They returned to God, and they committed themselves to doing his will, which in this situation at this time meant getting down to rebuilding the temple once again. I've probably said more than enough about what happened 2,500 years ago, but how does Haggai speak to us today? What can we learn from this passage of scripture? What can we take away and do today? Well, Haggai says twice, consider your ways. Consider your ways. It would be good for each one of us to stop, to pause, to think and to reflect, to consider our own ways in the light of God's word, to examine ourselves in the light of God's word. Life can become a routine, can't it? For many of you, it would be a very busy routine, a routine that's overwhelming at times. We carry on as best we can, muddling through. But do we ever really stop and think? Do we ever really pause before God to consider our ways? I want to encourage you to do so, and to do so this week. And you'll need to be intentional about it. You need to put it in your diary or in your phone and have notifications and alarms to remind you. Consider our ways personally, deeply, before God and before his word. But what kind of things might we like to consider, or should we consider, before the Lord? In many ways, the list could be endless. But here's some ideas from what we read in Haggai chapter 1. Procrastination. Is there anything you know that God wants you to do? Is there anything you believe that God is calling you to do, but you keep putting it off, saying, not now, maybe another day, next month, next year? Haggai encourages us to stop delaying, and today to start taking the necessary action to do what God is calling us to do. Similarly, on the other side of the coin, is there anything that you are doing that you know God wants you to stop doing? But once again, you say, not yet, maybe another day, next time. And especially if it's a conduct, behavior that the Bible would label as wrong, that the Bible would label as sin, as unrighteous, then it's a serious thing. And Haggai would tell us, don't delay. Today is the day of repentance. Now is the time to change your ways. Not tomorrow, because we all know that tomorrow never comes. I said earlier that the New Testament, or the Christian equivalent of building the temple, is to serve God in mission or in the church, to contribute our gifts, our love to its development, to its growth, towards maturity in Christ. Haggai told the people to get their priorities right. So another thing that we can do is to sit down and consider our ways, to think through your level of commitment to God's mission, your level of commitment to the church here at Buckingham Chapel in Bristol, to the degree of your participation in church life and ministry. Consider your ways. Think about how best you can contribute to the life and health and growth of the church. And the answer will be different for each one. You're at different stages of life. You have different gifts and personalities that we are all called to participate in and contribute to the life of church and the mission of God in some way. And so it's good to, from time to time, step back and to reflect upon that, to ask ourselves, have we got our priorities right? Is our level of commitment to mission and the church as it should be? Now, I know that life has many pressures. We struggle to juggle various responsibilities, to keep lots of different plates spinning. It's hard. But perhaps that gives us all the more reason to sit in quiet, to consider our ways, our values, before God, before His Word. That there might be some kind of reset, that we commit ourselves to His work, to His calling, and to His mission. So consider your ways in the light of what Haggai teaches, that we might each be committed to what God is calling us to do through His Word, participating in His mission and in church life. Now, just as I draw a conclusion, I did want to kind of turn upside down my introduction. As I said earlier, it's easy to start, it's less easy to carry on. And this evening we're actually coming back to the Haggai and seeing that in a few months later they were thinking of giving up once again. And we'll show how Haggai encouraged them to persevere in the task. It's easy to give up. We need to encourage one another to persevere. I just want to kind of turn that upside down. In the knowledge that we struggle to finish projects, I just want to remind myself, each one of us, that God is not like that. That God is not like that. That when God starts something, He always finishes it. That God will bring all of His promises, all of His plans, all of His purposes to completion, sooner or later. That's true for us as individuals. when God starts a work of redemption, when he starts a work of salvation in your life, he will bring it to completion on the day of Christ's return, on the day of resurrection and new creation. He will complete what he has started in your life. But what's true at an individual level is also true at a larger scale for the church, the local church, for the universal church. God's grand project is for the church, the body of Christ, to bring that to fulfillment, to completion. And just as by speaking through Haggai, God kick-started the suspended work on the temple, so God calls us to be collaborators with him, to be his co-workers in this grand project for the church that he will complete. He will complete all of his good designs for Christ and for the church, for his people. I'll just close by quoting that famous verse, well-known verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul reminds the small and fragile group of believers in Philippi and says to them that he is confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work in you, and that you can refer to you here today and to myself as well, the good work that he has begun, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. When God starts something, he doesn't stop. He won't give up on you or I. He won't give up on his purposes for the church here in Bristol, for the church globally, in every nation and amongst every people. So that may that be an encouragement to us as we consider our ways before God, before his calling, and take seriously his word as it's been spoken to us through the prophet Haggai today.